This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
This show is powered by you. That's right, the lovely people buying their wares through voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon portal. The beautiful, strong, hopefully moderately wealthy, cocksure people that bookmark voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon and do their shopping through the click-through link. You all achieve just a little bit more superstardom every time you buy something and help out the show. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. We thank you. That's voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. This is the K&P show. You help out the K&P show every time you go to voicesofwrestling.com/Amazon. I am your host, John Playtech, and with me, as always, except for last time.
Except for literally the last time.
Literally the last time we recorded this show, my man, Rich Kreitz. What's going on?
Not too much. How are you?
Doing good. Okay, I tweeted it out, but people may be surprised. Katie was not indeed chopping onions during last night's Raw. I did indeed shed
a
tear.
There was a dust storm in my my room, which is
odd.
Yeah. You know.
Roving dust storms.
Yeah, or Michelle, she might have been vacuuming or doing something, but for some reason, some dust was just getting in my eye. Yeah, exactly. What are you doing? Come on, it's 10 o'clock.
Can I say that?
Go to bed.
Okay?
She doesn't care.
No. All right. She didn't want to say something like unintentionally.
I mean, that's very rude. I mean, that's incredibly rude. But other than that, it's fine. I mean, it's
well, you know, hey, that's what happens. but I felt. You know, I felt like, of course, it went off perfectly. Again, this isn't going to be a wrestling show, but I just found it remarkable. And you even tweeted about it on the Voices of Wrestling Twitter account. And speaking of Twitter, you can follow the K&P show at K&ANDP show. That's at K&P show. And you can also follow me at John's Voices on Twitter. Rich, what's your personal account? Or did you not want,
I don't do the personal thing all that much. All my personal account is basically just a dump for like all the crap we do on Voices of Wrestling. So don't look at that one. Just go to at Voices Wrestling for all the wrestling
at
stuff.
Voices
and,
Wrestling.
Of course, as you said, the K&P show as well.
So. K&P show. You tweeted about it, but it's like I heard about Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson through you before he was in the WWE. You were the one that told me, like, all right, this is the guy. You watch him because he's the best out of the bunch when they first started that NXT thing. And I watched
him. Oh, you and I went to a show in NXT. Wasn't he there for that NXT?
No, that wasn't you.
You. Okay, I remember I was with someone, and they were like, this is terrible. I'm like, yeah, but that guy's good.
Like, no, I promise.
No, I swear, that guy's good.
This guy's like, going to be good, I swear to God.
Yeah.
I watched it, and I was taken, like, it was a perfectly emotionally manipulative show. I'm sure the WWE is patting themselves on the back, but it felt odd being emotional about not only just something that sports like, but especially wrestling. Did you find a lot of people like that?
No, it's the thing with him, especially, and that's I tweeted that out a little bit when I was talking about it, is that you have, you know, segments of wrestling fans like myself and Joe Lanza, who do the Voice of Wrestling podcast, as well as a lot of the people that follow Voices of Wrestling, that follow, you know, whether you follow the podcast, the feed, mm-hmm. or you just go to voicewrestling.com or whatever, a lot of you have a huge background of Bryan Danielson, as you said, of him in Ring of Honor, him in IWA Mid-South, him before he made it. And for him, there's so much of a bigger story there. Cause I why those people are emotional makes all the sense in the world. They have watched him since, you know, 2001, watched him progress as this little guy that, you know, we know he can do it, but they just won't give him the chance. Then he just pushes WWE's doors down and forces them. Hey, you have no choice but to make me a big deal because my fans won't stop. Mm-hmm. They literally will not shut up until you do something
right,
with me.
They stepped all over this big thing you had planned.
And that was great. And then it was sort of like a buy-in from all our fans, you know, these fans or whatever. But what I thought was interesting is that you have fans that only know him from WWE or only know this past 5 years of Daniel Bryan that are still as emotionally invested in. And yes, they have buy-in as well to the whole, you know, we're going to take over. We're going to have him, you know, we want him to be one of the featured guys. We don't want Batista. We don't want Randy Orton. We don't, in some cases, want Roman Reigns, that sort of stuff. They're a part of that as well. But I think the biggest part, and that's why we've always, or I've always loved Daniel Bryan, is because he's such a real human being. And I think that came across, that even if you weren't a wrestling fan at all, if I just said, hey, come into the room right now, to somebody who had no idea what he was talking about or what he was doing, he's just such an emotional guy, and you could just tell from how in that ring of what he was saying, of how the crowd was reacting to him, you know, what he was doing there as well. It was just so, I don't think you necessarily needed to have as big of a connection to Daniel Bryan to be sad or to be like remorseful for what this guy was going through. It's even amplified if you're a wrestling fan of Daniel Bryan the last 5 years, and then even more amplified if you've been a fan for, you know, 10, 15 years, and he's one of your favorite wrestlers of all time. So I just think he's such a real, genuine human being, and it always comes across with him as well, because I know you don't know a ton about, you know, the man Daniel Bryan or Bryan Danielson or whatever, but like you were saying, it was sad, and it's because he's such a genuine person that you just know. And by the way, nobody has ever said a bad word about him ever. Like I've talked to many wrestlers,
and you've looked,
promoters.
You've looked.
Yeah, exactly. Well, yeah, we talk to promoters all the time. We talk to wrestlers. Nobody has ever had a bad word to say about this guy. And you could tell that he just comes across like a genuine, nice guy. So there's emotion there for anybody, I think, especially if you're a wrestling fan, but just that this guy's pouring his heart out to you, that you can tell it's just a great story as well. It's almost like it'd be, you know, they can't write stuff this well anymore. Mm-hmm. Like they yeah. fail miserably time and time again to write stuff that's this emotional, that makes this much of a connection to fans. But like you're saying, you made that connection. I made that connection. Michelle was watching with me. She made everybody. I mean, Twitter was exploding with people just, and it's because he's just a real human being. It's not a character. It's not a facade. It's nothing like that. It's just a real guy pouring his heart out in front of, you know, 20,000 people and a million people around on TV or whatever. And that's profound. Like, you don't get that really in anything else but pro wrestling, if that makes sense. You know, there's no opportunity for anybody to do that. I mean, Peyton Manning was, you know, even if he in the middle of the Super Bowl said, you know, I'm going to retire, it would have felt manufactured. And especially right. fucking Peyton Manning doing it.
Right, especially because I'm going to retire with Insure, brought to you this retirement.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
To you by Insure,
because he's a fucking. Bryan, you didn't get that. Like, he felt uneasy a little bit about talking about, you know, he's like, oh, I don't, you know, I'll get one plug in here, but like, I donated my hair to like charity or whatever, and it was like, oh, that's something you could talk about.
Yeah,
man.
Peyton Manning's plug was fucking Budweiser.
Budweiser and kissing Papa John's guy, which, by the way, that was a weird hug kiss thing, right?
Yeah,
did you watch the replay of that? It wasn't a man hug. It was more. It was
the
like,
only thing I can think of is that like they're like actually friends. That's the only thing I can think of. And then it's like, because they're both rich. They're both from the South.
Are they European? Are they very European?
I don't know. I don't know.
Is the kiss? I thought the male kiss thing was more of the European thing. I mean, I don't care. Honestly, they can be gay lovers. I don't care. I just found it odd because it seemed like Papa John was more into the kiss thing than Peyton. I don't know.
I don't know, but I really had a connection. And somebody that doesn't watch the WWE all that much, I really had a connection with Daniel Bryan last night. Yeah. I thought that was really interesting. But three concussions within the first 5 months of wrestling.
That'll happen.
You know what? Yeah. As I said in the KMP show, the shorty that I recorded, is wrestling really that traumatic on the brain?
Well,
that's a big issue.
Yeah, and that's I've talked about it a lot on the Voice Wrestling podcast as well, and we don't know quite yet. It's going to take a time, you know, for us to really really know a lot of the ins and outs of concussions and CTE in wrestling. My big thing that I've always said is, I kind of do think it probably is not very good for your brain. And it's not because of the concussions. Like, again, and I know you've been talking about this on your Twitter account. We've been talking about it. Concussion is the buzzword. It's always going to be the word. And that's, people are just going to say concussion, 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 concussion. You know, in my case, if you really study and really know about it, and again, we don't need to get on this soapbox again. You can look for it on your own. Go to Boston University, go to other places, look up on Google, just type in CT versus concussions and you'll get stuff. But my thing has always been, yes, you can get a concussion in wrestling from doing some silly stuff, you know, hitting your head on the ring post, you know, falling into the ring and you know, getting whiplash or anything like that. But think of one of the fundamental things of professional wrestling. Think of something that you do every single match, hundreds of times per match. What is one thing, John? Maybe I'll get this question to you, where you can maybe see what's like a fundamental day one wrestling school. What do they have you do 1,000 times to prove that you want to do this, that you really are a good wrestler, that you have athleticism, that you can do this, that you're tough?
Is that running the ropes?
It's not running the ropes, though. That could be one. It's the flat back bump.
Okay, yeah, just falling flat on your back,
falling on the back of your head, flat. No, you can't have your shoulder up. You can't, you know, do it on your hip. By the way, Ric Flair, as you'll know, always, because of his neck injury, because he had a plane crash and fucking survived, which is the craziest thing about Ric Flair ever.
Well, he was as drunk as the, he was so drunk he was as limp as the crash test dummies that they use And he just flung out and was like,
"That's possible." Well, there you go. So he's like, "Ah, woo!"
Yeah, that's what Frost
just keeps walking. Yeah, he's like, "Whoa!"
With Johnny Walker in his hand, he's like, "Yeah, fuck yeah!"
All right. Like, that wasn't bad at all. But yeah, he always had a bump on his hip because he couldn't take a flat back bump because he couldn't do it. But if you think about it, the first day of wrestling school, what you do is they have you go and just you spread your arms out and you fall back. Now think about that.
Like
every single time, all the time on a very hard surface. I've always said they test CTE and they always go, or they test for CTE in a lot of these wrestlers' brains. Not as many as I would like them to do to really do a big study. But of the ones they've had, they found CTE in most of those guys, and everybody goes, "Oh yeah, he did this," or "Oh, there was this time where he had this big concussion, or he did this horrible thing, or whatever." The problem might not be what the big chair shots, this sort of stuff. It might be one of the fundamental aspects of professional wrestling that's one of the problems.
Right. It's just falling.
Like football. Yeah. Like football. One of the way to prevent CTE in football is to not play football. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
right.
There's
to not
nothing
play football
you can
the
do.
Way it is.
Yeah.
Right. Because if you're just going to hit your head into something, your brain is going to smack into your skull.
Right.
Whether
you have every mouth guard in the world. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. You can have 10 mouth guards and the best helmet in the world. But if your fundamental part of football is smacking your head and doing that sort of stuff, you're going to have CT. There's no real way to get around it. And I don't know. I kind of spitball with that wrestling thing. I I've never been in the ring. I can't attest to what happens to your head, but that flat back bunk, I have to imagine that at least contributes something to it.
Do you get a lot of that in wrestling or like talking wrestling? Are there a lot of guys like, "You've never been in the ring"?
God. It's a huge thing, actually.
Well,
I can't even criticize the booking. They don't even let you, if you're like, "Well, that story's stupid," they're like, "Yeah, you've never been in the ring, so shut your mouth," or whatever.
Oh,
and
Jesus.
That's not like guys that do independent wrestling or whatever. Like, we have a staff writer at Voices Wrestling, Brandon Howard, who does independent wrestling and stuff, and he's not that guy. He doesn't care. It's like you're weird, like your X-Pox of the world, or like Road Dogg went on this tangent a few weeks ago about like, "Well, I've been in the ring and y'all haven't, so like, I don't need to hear about it." It's like,
that guy found Jesus. How about he finds a brain first?
Like Kevin Nash. Kevin Nash is a big proponent of like that. "Yeah, well, you never bumped, brother. So, what can you tell me about the business?" So
probably more than you, because you're brain damaged already, Kevin Nash, or whoever it is.
Well, to be fair, Kevin Nash never did take a bump ever, so he might be okay.
Oh, that's a really in-depth wrestling burn that I just don't get.
Yeah,
so.
Exactly. Yeah, you don't know. Someone will know.
Take that, Kevin Nash.
Yeah, fuck you, Diesel.
Yeah, cool. I don't know about it because I've never been in the ring, but somebody has, and they fucking get it, and they're laughing their ass off at you. How do you feel now, bitch? All right, let's take a break really quick before we jump in to what we wanted to talk about today. This segment is brought to you by Stance. By breathing life into something that had been previously overlooked, Stance has ignited a movement of art and self-expression that has drawn athletes, performers, and iconic cultural influencers to the Staff brand. Stance is now the official sock of the NBA and will be unveiling their first line of underwear this year. Get yourself some slick footwear and comfortable underwear at voicesofwrestling.com/stance. That's voicesofwrestling.com/stance.
Those are actually some really, really nice socks, by the way. And
I know
they are very nice.
Hmm.
Yes.
But then
they're a little jazzy for white suburban kids, but that's okay. You can still find you can put them under like your jeans or whatever. But like, yeah, if you do any sort of running or whatever, they're really great for moisture and that sort of stuff. Like, they're great for basketball. I use them to play basketball and a lot of times. And yeah, they're really high quality socks. So if you run, if you play basketball, if you just want to be a fashionista of
oh yeah, like
NBA logos or whatever. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
They're really nice. Yeah.
I'm at that point where it's like, I'll do a load of laundry and I'll be trying to sort out the socks, and I'll have every single pair of dress, like every pattern of dress sock that I own, but only one of them. It'll be just the one. And I don't know where they are. And I saw when we first got Stance, I went to their website to check it out, and they've got dress sock length stuff. And it's like, I might need that because I need some damn socks, because I always lose socks and I have no idea where they go or where they are at any given time. But I should take my happy ass to voicesofwrestling.com/stance. Get myself some Stance socks. Wear those bitches around. And then go to the gym, because that's the other thing, because I wear nice socks, but then I can't wake up and go to the gym in them.
Correct. Right.
And then I get crop dusted by some guy. Oh, I went to the gym. This happened about a week ago. I was at the gym. Okay. And I'm.
Okay. So I'm just curious where and how, but go ahead.
I go to the gym and I, you know, I get on the treadmill and I try to do the, all the people are like, oh, I'm in the runner zone. I ran for like 45 minutes straight and I just can't do that. I don't know why I can't turn my brain off. I'm like, okay, all right, you know, left, right, exhale on this foot. And
I got about 3 minutes of cardio. I go play basketball. Basketball is my cardio because I cannot. I really try to get on the treadmill. And honestly, within 5 minutes, I just want to be anywhere in the world. But
exactly.
On the treadmill anymore. Like, I'm so bored. Like, even if there's a team, and they've made treadmills. You know, I work at a fitness company, so I know this. I mean, we do so much to try to make treadmills. You know, they have, you got the TV, of course. We have stuff where you can get on Google Maps and it's like, hey, do you want to run through Paris or whatever? Like, here you go. Like,
yeah,
you can, and
yeah,
then you can
that.
Be on Google Maps and run through, and even then in like 5 minutes, I'm like, I don't care. Fuck it. Like, I'm literally, you know, running through Cairo and running up the pyramids or whatever. And just like, they could make it a live video and I'd still be like, you know what? I'm good. Like, I'm fine. Like you could watch sport. Like, you could watch TV. Like, I have no problem sitting down and watching TV. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, of course, anybody can sit down and watch TV for 10 minutes. Watching TV on a treadmill for 10 minutes, I want to kill myself. Like, whatever's on, I'm like, this is boring. I hate it. It's the worst thing
right,
ever.
You
like,
immediately hate whatever it is you're watching. Yeah. So I'm
like, I don't want to watch basketball. What is this on for?
Dude, well, get these black. I like how you revert back to the inverse of whatever it is you are. You're Rich is all of a sudden like, I love the college game. I love the way they try harder and play defense. What are these guys doing in the NBA? This sucks. God damn it. I hate this. So I'm on the treadmill trying to do my thing, and somebody there's that thing. I always try to leave at least one machine
in between me
and the next one. Well, this guy,
fucking guy.
Yeah. And I don't look, and I try not to look at people because I just feel weird about it because everybody's at the
gym.
In
general or just at the gym?
No, at the gym. Well, in general. Okay. You know, I hate people. Everybody sucks and I hate them all. And, you know, that's why we're not doing the show in studio today. Fuck you. Here, there's...
Basically, fuck you.
There you go. Yeah, see, yeah, that's why. Right. But I try not to look at them because it's like everybody's in that weird kind of like, we're sweating, we're vulnerable, we're in our not, you know, we're in comfortable clothes, but we're not in our regular clothes and we're in a kind of a strange space, et cetera. Especially women, because women at the gym, if you're a guy and you look at a girl, there's only one reason they think you're looking at them.
Right.
Even if you're just looking around, they're like, oh, he's trying to stare at my ass. And usually you're probably right. I'm just waiting for you to turn around. But I don't want to put you... off. I'm just here to do my thing. So this guy gets next to me and I can feel him next to me. I can smell his Jacquard Noir or whatever the fuck he's wearing. And I'm not upset yet. Okay. A lot of people may think I get upset very easily. I don't. And we're running. And, you know, we're both jogging back and forth, you know, jogging. And I turn to look at the clock just to see what time it is because I got to get home to make sure Arkham doesn't shit all over because then I have to clean that up. And that's fun when you're sweating and you stink and then you got to clean up shit. And then this guy, I turn my head to look at the clock. This guy's staring daggers right at me, just looking me, just staring right at me. And I'm like, no, dude. I want to be like, no, dude, I'm not trying to look at you or check you out or anything. I just want to see the clock. It just happens to be you're in that range. And I just turn back awkwardly and I continue running. And have you ever smelled shit when you didn't think you would smell shit? Like smelled the odor of feces when you're like, you open a box, you're like, whoa, okay. It just hits you. You do, like you walk into a room and you smell it.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I thought a sewer line had ruptured like right under the
gym.
And I was like, did I fart? Did I like shit my pants? Did I do something? Like it was that bad. It was overwrought. And then I realized, and then I put two and two together. That motherfucker was staring me down because he wanted to see if I noticed that he crop dusted me because he smelled it. He probably tried to let out a fart
like,
while he was and he's like, oh shit, this is bad. Please don't notice. And I did. So whoever you are, I turned to you as a Latin guy. Latin guy at the gym. I smelled
it. I know.
Yeah. I smelled it. You dealt it. But it's okay. I'm not mad. You don't need to feel bad. It's just maybe next time take a give me that luxury space. Give me. That's why everybody takes the space. So I don't sweat and I don't fart on you. That's why I give you that one machine space. We need to adhere to that. We need a federal law for that. to protect us from evil people that will fart awful things at other people at the gym. Am I wrong on that?
No, you're absolutely right. No. Yeah. Well, also don't fart in like that public of a space, especially with the sweat and like it's, you know,
yeah,
like that's going to,
it's going to rise.
It's not going to go away. It's going to rise and it's going to be amplified. So yeah, don't do that.
It when you're doing something active and you have to fart, it is never a not smelly fart. It is always the smelliest, raunchiest shit you've ever concocted is when you're trying to, well, like when you're running, when you're playing a sport or something, and you're like, oh, just let me try to eke one out here. Let me just hope that that doesn't smell too bad. It always smells bad. It smells terrible. So stop it. Speaking of stop it, I didn't know, Rich, did you know this, that Johnny Manziel is that much of a fuck up?
He's kind of. Yes, it's getting like every day now. It's out of control. Like it's unbelievable that the Cleveland Browns honestly had him around this, you know, this long.
Right.
That's the biggest shock that I've sort of gotten. It's because we've always heard, like, there was always the weird, you know, dance of, oh, he's going to start this week. Yeah, no, he's not. Oh, we're not really sure. Oh, okay, no, he's not. And everybody was going, oh, come on, just give the guy a chance. You know, what is he going to do? Knowing that, you know, and people would say, oh, you know, occasionally he'll go out and party, you know, whatever. He's a, you know, a 22, 23-year-old man. You know, he's going to go out and he's rich and he's going to go party and do all that sort of stuff. And then we heard that, you know, he moved away from downtown. So that was stopped. And it was sort of like, okay, look, here's a guy who, you know, maybe enjoys the drink a little bit, but.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever, it you know, he's still a little kid, you know, a kid at heart, I guess, in some ways. But the more and more you're getting, especially this offseason, and I don't know if it's a strategy by the Browns to say, hey, look, we're not the idiots here, this guy's awful, or, you know, there could be some of that in there too. But there's so much, I mean, every day I got lost. I mean, there's a new Manziel story that happened today that almost in some way kind of overshadows something that happened over the weekend, but the over the weekend one is horrible too. Like,
right, the over the weekend,
like that's not even the same big story.
Right, the over the weekend
story, big horrible. It's like there's another big Manziel story that happened over the weekend, but we've already forgotten about that one because something else has happened. The one is like a criminal investigation. Like,
right, the one is a criminal investigation brought by his ex-girlfriend signed an affidavit, and the Dallas police or Fort Worth, I don't know. It's like Dallas, Fort Worth, but they have two separate police forces, so I don't know which one does what. She signed an affidavit alleging, among other things, that he slapped her so hard with his open hand across her ear that he ruptured her eardrum in a drunken rant, and then shoved her into a car, and while driving said, be quiet or I'll kill us both. And all these horrible things, allegations, all of them, not substantiated much more than her affidavit, which is evidence. But, you know, Manziel hasn't been tried in open court. Okay. But these heinous allegations, which fall right in line with the previous altercation that was alleged when they were stopped on the side of the highway. And it falls right in line with this. Manziel was a little bit drunk and then continued and then got a little bit more and more and more. And the big story now is that Manziel was drunk at practice. And that's why he didn't start. That's a whole new level of fuck up. When your domestic violence story is overshadowed by your drunk at practice story. And did the Browns lie about you being in the concussion protocol to cover up for you being drunk or hungover or whatever it was?
It's unbelievable.
That's awful. I look, and I'm trying to. I'm always on the lookout for racism, Rich. You know this. I'm trying to think what would happen if Johnny Manziel was a black guy. Would we be handling it any different?
I don't think so. I really don't. In this case, I really do not, because there are enough. I feel like there's nobody that's really at this point, at least. There was maybe, you know, in the middle of last year or, you know, his first year at the Browns, there have been other people that maybe had sort of stuck up for him when they maybe shouldn't have or done. I think pretty much everybody in the world kind of gets that, hey, this guy needs help one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's the biggest thing that I've heard from a lot of people is not that this guy's, you know, a royal fuck up and that all that sort of stuff. And maybe you could say that they would be different if it was, you know, Cam Newton doing this and they would say he's just a fuck up and get him out of the league or whatever. Whereas people in Manziel's case are saying, oh, you know, give this guy help. He needs help or whatever. I don't think it would be different, though. I really don't, because I think people are taking this very serious. And I think a lot of people are covering it. And you just get eye rolls every time, like especially like I said, like. or you just brought up as well, is like the story of him allegedly, you know, hitting his girlfriend so hard that he busted her eardrum is like not the biggest man this week again. You know, like that's ridiculous. It's mm-hmm. unbelievable, like, of just how much this guy can do. And of course, I think that's a way worse, you know, allegation other than, you know, the being drunk at practice thing is
I don't
awful,
care.
But,
why would I care if Johnny Manziel shows up drunk?
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
Practice.
It just shows how just a fuck up or an issue or just how much this guy needs help and how little some of the people in his life had helped him before. Cause there had been people with concerns about this years ago of saying, hey, you know what? Don't, you know, you kind of, he's enjoying the NFL lifestyle a little too much. Hey, this guy needs some help. And other people, oh, you know, kids will be kids, this sort of stuff.
Boys will be and boys, et cetera.
The problem is it's gotten too far now. You're at a point now where, you know, this is twice now he's alleged to had struck his girlfriend, or we know he had driven drunk those two times. I'm guessing, going on a limb, that those are not the only two times that he decided operating a motor vehicle under the influence was an okay idea. And then now this, where
Rich, are you trying to allege a pattern here? Is that what you're saying?
I'm just saying. I'm not saying.
Yeah, good.
But yeah, you're getting to a point now where it's just it's nuts. And like, you know, when we were kind of prepping for the show, we were thinking of, okay, what are we going to do? How are we going to talk? You know, what are we going to talk about with this guy? The problem with it is I would like to have some big, you know, let's have a discussion. What you do, what can be done? Would any team get him? But like, I don't think this is the end. You know what I mean? Like, I feel like in next week, there's going to be something else. I mean, this is a guy who went missing. Remember that? He was just gone for like a week.
Yeah.
Nobody could find him. Like, where's Johnny Manziel? We don't know. Okay, whatever. Like, this guy's going to turn up dead. That's what I mean. It's going to get to that point. And thankfully, his father has sort of recognized it and said, hey, he needs to get help or he's not going to survive. Like, you know,
right.
Like literally said, like, he will not see his next birthday if he doesn't get help. And that's harrowing. But then there's just more and more and more that comes up. And, you know, I heard during the Super Bowl, there were different organizations that were talking about how to help him, you know, different stuff of, you know, you can't just go to a 12-week rehab thing. And go, okay, I'm good. Like, it's got to be just wholesale changes to his life. But I mean, if you're a team, there's no, he's not going to play in the NFL ever again, right? Like, who would sign him right now?
If Jerry Jones is targeting RG3 over Johnny Manziel right now, and you're Johnny Manziel, that should sober you up. You should look at your meal like,
that is it. That is all you have, is that Jerry Jones is dumb enough to go, hey, yeah, that Texas gunslinger, let's go. Like, that's it.
And when Jerry Jones distances himself from you, he's like, I don't know about that.
That's the guy who also signed Greg Hardy this year. A reminder, that's that guy that said, yes, I would like Greg Hardy in my locker room.
And then stood by him after guns blazing and where the white women at, stood by him after that, was like, yep, he's a leader, that's what he does, and punched an assistant coach on the sidelines and like got
in a
fight.
But the team needed that. It needed some spark and some energy. But
when that guy looks at you
compass,
and is like, oh no, you got some fucking problems, Johnny M. You've got a problem. And listen, you know what? I remember we were doing 643 Sports when Chris Henry died. And the story of how he died in the, you know, trying to beat up his girlfriend and then jumped in the back of a pickup truck and then was thrown from it and cracked his, you know, neck or whatever and died. If that was to be the end of Johnny Manziel, I'm okay with it. Because at this point, we're already down that Chris Henry path. You know, I brought up the racial component to it earlier, but now it's kind of forming in my mind that not a perfect comp, but a good comp for what Johnny Manziel is doing right now is Chris Henry, a young guy who may have loads of talent that an NFL team is going at first tried to abide by and tried to even stick up for. And now they're at his wit's end with him, and there's an altercation with a girlfriend involving substance abuse, et cetera, et cetera. Johnny Manziel sounds a lot like Chris Henry to me. Mm-hmm. And you know what? If this story is true, if Johnny Manziel is tried in a court by a jury of his peers or a bench trial if he elects for it, and is convicted and then is thrown off the back of a pickup truck trying to exact revenge on his girlfriend, I'm okay with it. Goodbye, Johnny Manziel. You had your shot at this life, because also you're incredibly rich without football. You're already incredibly rich. You don't need to be just so gluttonous and just you're ruining twice over these gifts that have been handed to you, and you're pissing them down a drain. And if you want to go be debase yourself and go be drunk and go be violent, go ahead. Goodbye. I'm okay with it.
Yeah, he's like, and there's the boys will be boys thing and the drunk, you know, whatever. But when you start getting into like the domestic abuse stuff, that's when it starts to, okay, then like now he's just a legit bad dude. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like I can let go. Okay. He's just a party animal, whatever. Like I roll my eyes at it and go, okay, you know, it's annoying and I'm sure his team hates it and his teammates hate it or whatever. But when you start, you know, hurting, like actually hurting other people because of your issues, it's like, come on, man, you gotta, and still doesn't seem to think that he has a problem. I mean, I think that's the most galling thing, and I think to most people, is that I generally don't think he thinks has a problem or that anything's wrong. And it's in one way it's sad, but in another way it's like you said, it's you know, at some point you run out of chances and it's like, okay, man, like
right. There have been people, first they tried enabling you, your parents enabled you for a little bit, and then Texas Tech enabled you, and then they kind of Texas A&M, sorry.
Don't want Texas Tech, I want Cliff Kingsbury or whatever to get mad at us.
Texas A&M enabled you for a little bit. The Browns enabled you, and even they are now stopping it. Mm-hmm. And you checked into voluntary rehab, and the world kind of gave you a pass. You were like, all right, fine, I'm going to go into this rehab program. And everybody, as far as I could tell, went, oh, okay. Like, reset on Johnny Manziel. Let's forget about all of it. Good. He's going to the thing. And I'm not one of these people that thinks that if you've ever abused a substance, specifically alcohol, I don't know, you know, there are some other shit that's pretty hard out there, pretty hardcore. But specifically with alcohol, I'm not one of those people that thinks if you've ever abused alcohol, you can never drink alcohol again. I don't think that's it. I think it's more of an issue of, you know, you just have to have some kind of control over yourself, self-control. You have to have an idea of what it is and why it's doing to you what it does, and then you can put it at the place. And so that's why initially when I saw Johnny Manziel was drinking again, I wasn't as upset. I was just like, okay, well, the guy can still party. The guy can still drink. It's just if it starts affecting his job and if it starts leading him or if it unlocks this part of himself where he hurts people, although I don't want to say that, you know, alcohol is the reason he's probably he allegedly beat his girlfriend, because that's not an excuse. But now with this story that whether he was drunk or whether he was hungover, and the Browns had to do a little tap dance about why Johnny Manziel wasn't playing or wasn't at practice because he was complaining about headaches because he, you know, he'd been on a bender. You're abusing alcohol, and you apparently don't have the capability to responsibly consume alcoholic beverages at this point in your life. You just need to stop. And apparently he just can't do that. Doesn't want to do it. Doesn't want anything to do with it. Doesn't care. And goodbye. And so I say goodbye to you, Johnny Manziel. Yep. The hell out of here.
Yeah. I don't think we'll see him in the NFL. Not next year, and I don't think ever again. So,
no, he's not even worth a backup, is he?
He's not that good either. That's the problem.
Right.
Like, you know, if he was, and that's the thing where Chris Henry or Pac-Man Jones or those sort of guys got a lot of chances, and Pac-Man Jones still gets chances because they're supreme talents. And that's, you know, at the end of the day, a lot of, and Garrett Hardy's another one as well that Jerry Jones said, I'll take a flyer on this guy. You know, taking a flyer on Manziel at this point.
Right.
You know, what's it worth? Because there's just, I don't know if there's much there. So it's just, yeah.
Right. It's not like
it is a goodbye. Yeah.
He doesn't have the undeniable talent that you would deal with a headline or two just to see if he's got a little something. You kick the tires on him because he's never established anything anyway.
Right.
Even when he was drafted, everyone's kind of like, what the fuck are they doing? What? Okay, fine. Thank you for your trading back up. Didn't they trade back up to get him? Oh, no, that was Tebow.
I think so. Yeah, I mix up my mediocre.
Bad quarterbacks that teams completely reach for. All right, well, we're going to take a quick timeout. When we come back, we're going to talk a little bit about Kobe, the old man, the guy on the way out in the NBA, and his stance on hack-a rules, like hack a Jordan, hack a Shaq. You got the K&P show. We'll be right back.
K&P fans, be sure to head over to voicesofwrestling.com this week for an all-new episode of Shake Them Ropes. Each week, Rob McCarron and Jeff Hawkins bring you Shake Them Ropes, talking all things WWE and NXT. Rob and Jeff will talk all the latest news coming out of WWE, the news heading into NXT TakeOver, and get your thoughts on the build-up to WrestleMania 32. If you're into nostalgia, every week Rob and Jeff discuss a new match on the WWE.com list of the top 100 matches to see on WWE Network. We run through the greatest matches in the history of pro wrestling, and you can share your thoughts on Twitter at ShakeThemRopes. In addition to our weekly episodes, after every WWE pay-per-view, we also go live on YouTube. Be sure to subscribe to the Voices of Wrestling YouTube at voicesofwrestling.com/YouTube, and you can follow along to a live video stream as Shake Them Ropes goes live after every WWE pay-per-view. So fans, do not miss all new episodes of Shake Them Ropes. Voicesofwrestling.com. That's voicesofwrestling.com. For the best in pro wrestling coverage and commentary, look no further than Voices of Wrestling. Hi everybody, Rob McCarron here, and at Voices of Wrestling, we specialize in coverage of wrestling in the US and abroad. New Japan Pro Wrestling, Pro Wrestling Noah, Dragon Gate, Revolution Pro Wrestling, Evolve, Ring of Honor, and yes, WWE and NXT. We have it all. Reviews of every major show. Podcasts that cover it all, including the flagship Voices of Wrestling podcast hosted by Rich Craich and Joe Lanza. You won't get opinion this diverse from anyone else. Subscribe to our podcasts on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn Radio. Watch our live shows on YouTube. And check out our daily reviews. All of this and more at voicesofwrestling.com.
This segment is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek enables fans to quickly and easily discover the best deals for sports, concerts, and theater events. The company's interactive stadium apps, deal score, and comparison shopping experience provide fans with the buying intelligence needed to find the best prices from trusted ticket markets and purchase tickets seamlessly. Use deal score and SeatGeek's intuitive comparison shopping by visiting voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek today. That's voicesofwrestling.com/SeatGeek. We are back with the KMP show. I'm John with Rich. When we left off, he said we're going to talk a little bit about Kobe and his view of hacker rules in the NBA. Now, to preface this, the NBA decreed right in the middle of the season, which I've never seen before, they said that fouling a guy at the who had just taken a foul shot will now be a flagrant foul. Did you see that? Is that right?
I did, yeah. It's... Yes, there's a little more nuance there, but yes, essentially, yes.
Okay, and this is from Fox Sports, and this is Kobe talking about the state of hacker rules.
They talked about doing it midseason, but I think it's going to be, we'll see. They've said they could do it, they haven't yet.
They could
do it midseason, or they could do it at the end of the season. They haven't said quite yet, so it's a little nuanced. I don't want to say, we don't know for sure whether or not, which I would be shocked if they do it in the middle of the season. I think they're going to wait till after the season, but okay. We'll see.
This is Kobe. Quote, I'm increasingly of the view that we will be looking to make some sort of change in that rule this summer, Silver said via USA Today. Oops, I hit the page up button accidentally. That sucked. Even for those who had not wanted to make the change, we're being forced to that position just based on these sophisticated coaches, understandably using every tactic available to them. It's just not the way we want to see the game played. You can't protect guys because they can't shoot free throws, Brian said via ESPN. You're getting paid a lot of money to make a damn free throw, dude. I think it's kind of a bad precedent. I wouldn't change it. That's Kobe talking about Hacker Jordan, Hacker rules. And you know what? I like Kobe's stance on this. I like Kobe saying, you know what? Make a goddamn free throw because you're getting paid however much money to be in the NBA and you can't make a free throw. I don't know.
I'm sort of waver on this a little bit because there are days where I absolutely agree. I think at the end of the day, you know, you should be able to make your free throws. If you can't make your free throws, sorry, we're not going to change the rules to sort of accommodate you and make your life easier when this is an aspect of the game. Because now we can, you know, then what's next of a guy saying, hey, I can't make threes. So, you know, like when my layup should count for three or, you know what I mean? Like there's weird sort of nuance. There's sort of stuff that could happen and get crazy after that, too. I mean, this could be a floodgate thing. It could be something that just is a nothing. There's that. There's also the aspect I get from Adam Silver, who that was the first quote you read was from Adam Silver, mm-hmm. the NBA commissioner, who said, you know, a lot of them didn't want to make the change, but were sort of being forced to because coaches are utilizing it and using it to their fullest power. And there were, you know, there were a few years where there were only a few guys that were getting hacked, and it didn't really change the game all that much. Like, there's some studies that you can read, Nylon Calculus, which is a site of the Hardwood Proxism Fan, which is a great network of websites as well. But Nylon Calculus is like an NBA statistics site. Seth Partnow, a friend of the site as well, his wife does our Total Divas reviews on mm-hmm. Voices of Wrestling. He did a study about it really doesn't benefit the teams all that much. Like, people think it does because it slows down the game, but it ends up just not really benefiting all that much. The points per possession don't really change all that much or drastically. In some cases, the points per possession are helped out by the team that's getting fouled or whatever. And there's some weird stuff into that of looking at the stats and that sort of stuff. This year, though, it's become a much bigger deal because there are so many guys that this is happening with. Like, before, it was Dwight Howard and DeAndre Jordan and then a few guys here and there. We're seeing it all the time now. I mean, there are plenty of guys, almost every game, almost a game per week has a guy, you know, sitting at the free throw line taking a bunch of those. Andre Drummond earlier this year took, like, I forgot what it was, like 30 free throws in a game or whatever. And it was just
right,
it was,
he missed 20
it was awful.
Of them or something.
Yeah, and it was like the most missed free throws in a game ever. It wasn't entertaining. It was a bad game. The fans hated it, all that sort of stuff. And that's where you get to it. And I get Adam Silver's, you know, stance on this to an extent of, and this is, to be fair, the NBA has always been a great league about this, of realizing, you know, baseball, you gotta, oh my God, to make a rule change in baseball, forget mm-hmm. it. Like, that, it's like 30 years in the making to make a rule change. Like, we should have a DH. Like, okay, we'll roll on that in like 25 years or whatever. You know what I mean? Like,
right. It's like, we'll roll it out like in fall, in like the fall league, we'll try it. And then next year at spring training, we'll do it for half. And then if like 3/4 of the owners like it, maybe we'll do it in the postseason. And then 5 years later, be ready to roll it out in the regular season.
Exactly. The NBA is not so much of this ingrained rule. Like, you know, baseball will always say, well, everybody knows the rules. Like, this is a ball, you know, 4 balls, 3 strikes. You know what I mean? Like, that's mm-hmm. they're ingrained. Whereas the NBA, the rules aren't really as ingrained. Some stuff can be a little bit more fluid. And Adam Silver, I get his stance, and I get some of the other people's stance that have said, look, from an entertainment standpoint, you got these fans in this arena watching this. The coaches, I don't blame them. The coaches are going to go, hey, I want to win a game. This helps me win the game. I'm doing it. Mm-hmm. They're at no fault. They are playing the rules exactly as they should. They're doing exactly what they should do to win the game. That's their job. That's their goal. The team, that's their job. That's their goal. Win the game or whatever. Adam Silver, the commissioner and the owners, the NBA in general, sort of the ownership of it, has to look at it as well of, okay, we're a sport, but we're also entertainment. We're mm-hmm. an entertainment sport, and is this affecting the entertainment value of our sport? Is this going to become an issue where you get so many people that are doing this that it just destroys the game? And the coaches are going to go, hey, look, sorry, we want to win the game. I don't give a shit, you know, how right. many people are in the stands. Like, I don't care if 10 people come watch the game. My job is to win this game, not to entertain the fans or whatever. I get it from their standpoint, but Silver and all those guys have to sort of look and say, hey, has this reached a point where the entertainment value of the sport is now affected by it?
Right. As a whole, it doesn't matter that teams are winning and losing. It's how they're winning and losing.
Right. If your team does that, so let's hypothetical, you're a Wizards fan or whatever, and you guys are against the Pistons, the Detroit Pistons, and you guys decide, hey, look, we're just going to follow Andre Drummond the entire game. Let's let him take 90 free throws. Who mm-hmm. cares? Let him take 90 free throws. We'll see what happens or whatever. And, you know, Detroit goes, hey, you know, we're not going to take this guy out. He's DeAndre Drummond. He's one of our biggest stars. We're going to go with it. I mean, we're not going to take this guy out because of that. So then you have a game where the Wizards might win. You know, they might win by 10 points, 15 points because the strategy worked out perfectly. But are any of those, you know, 19,000 people going to be happy that they won 51-36 in a game where they saw Andre Drummond take 90 free throws? And that's got to be a thing where, okay, and of course, that's an extreme example that hasn't right. occurred quite yet. But I could see the owners going, oh my God, after that 30, I mean, that's when the big one started of like, oh my God, like,
right, right.
That guy took 30 plus free throws in a game and missed like that. It's not the, oh, that guy was in for a few minutes and we did that. Or this guy was in for 5 or 10 minutes and we did that. Or Shaq at the end of the game, they would do it. You know, other teams would do it. Don Nelson would do it to Dennis Rodman way back in the 90s as well. It's now gotten to a point where that's like a, you know what? No, we're just going to do this like an entire quarter and that's fine.
Right.
That isn't it. And again, like I waver, I say, hey, just make them, man. It's easy for me to say, just, hey, come on, just make them and let's get better here. You know, that's an aspect of the game. Right. You got to learn it. But I get Adam Silver's thing of like, all right, like, you know,
right. We need this to be entertaining now.
This is an entertainment product. This isn't, yeah, it's a majestic sport. Like we revere sports as a sort of, and a lot of it is because if you're a baseball fan, that's baseball selling point is, oh, you know, little kids playing it on here and it's the same rules here and it's the same dimensions, whether you play it here or whatever. The NBA is very fluid and they're okay with making changes if it means they'll have a more entertaining product, a product that's more endearing to a younger fan base as well. And that's another important thing as well. We talk about attention spans and baseball's like, oh my God, you know,
right.
What are we going to do for the attention spans? So now we're going to have a bunch of people sit in the arena and watch a guy take free throws for an hour. You know, Adam Silver goes, hey, my fan base is predominantly young, kids that are on their phones, the social media generation, that sort of stuff.
They don't want to watch this.
Do they really want to sit in this arena? Do they want to pay the, you know, $100 a ticket, which is what we have to, you know, what this league is going to charge? We're going to sign a brand new multi-billion dollar, you know, television contract that goes in next year, whatever. Are people going to watch? Are we going to have advertisers? Are we going to have people in the stands that are going to say, yeah, I'll put all this money in and then watch a bunch of guys take free throws and miss them? I get it. Like, it's conflicted. I'm very glad I'm not Adam Silver. I'll tell you that. Cause I have no idea. Cause I waver on a daily basis of like, make your goddamn free throws.
See, just now you had me when you were making the entertainment value. I was like, right. You know what? That's a good argument. Yeah. Like I was going to, you win, but there's another part of me. There's like another voice in my head.
Make your free throws.
Of the many that's like, hey, here's another way to stop it. Make your fucking free throws. How about that? Listen, you want to change the rules? Fine. You know what would stop this right now is if Andre Drummond made all of his free throws or 80% of them. That would stop it real fucking quick is they would stop doing this. And you're getting paid millions of dollars, and how come you can't, and why can't you? And this isn't like baseball where, you know, oh, I expect my pitchers to hit. Screw that. That position is so specialized. But in basketball, you're playing offense, you're playing defense. Yeah. You're expected to have some level of acuity in every facet of the game, defensively, offensively, and free throws are a part of your offensive game. I guess if basketball were to have a special teams, I guess free throws would be classified as that. But you're expected to contribute on offense and defense in basketball, and there's a whole bunch of guys in the NBA that have just been allowed to exist for a while that were completely deficient at a subgroup of offense, and now that's being exploited and they're crying about it. And I'm wavering right now, like inside my own head right now. I'm like, oh, well, you know what? I like Adam. I respect on Adam Silver because before he was like, he was of the ilk of make your free throws. Just do it. Right? Early on in the season. And then it continued and progressed. And now he's saying, I'm increasingly of the view that we will be looking to make some sort of change in that rule this summer. Even for those who had not wanted to make the change, we're being forced to that position just based on these sophisticated coaches understandably using every tactic available to them. I like that. I like Adam Silver. He's good.
He's a good dude. Adam Silver's a man, yeah.
Yeah, he's better than Roger Goodell
and Stern, there's
and well, who? It's not Bud Selig anymore. Who is it?
Manfred. Manfred's pretty good. The new
MLB commissioner.
Yeah, he's not bad.
All right. Well, I don't envy his position. I really don't, because you know you're going to get the Stan Van Gundys of the world are going to be really pissed off when he does this. Like whatever the change is. Like if you fouled the same guy three times in a row, it's a flagrant on you or a technical or something. You know, I don't envy his position at all, but
it's tough. Yeah, I don't know. Like I like I said, I waver on a daily basis, an hourly basis, a minute basis of what the rule should be. I don't know. I don't know if there's a good way. I mean, I think what they're going to do, I don't think they're ever going to have like a designated free throw guy or something like that. I think they're just going to make it a harsher penalty to do it, like to sort of discourage it, maybe not eliminate it, but discourage it of like, oh, you get a flagrant if you do it. Things like that where, you know, that guy still has to take free throws if he's fouled. But this sort of the intentional aspect of it will sort of get lost a little bit.
Is it which penalty is it? I think it was. I don't know. This is probably a confabulation. Isn't there a penalty where everybody on the floor gets one added to their penalty total?
No, like high school basketball will sometimes do that in different states if somebody gets like a technical.
Okay.
If like the coach gets a T, they'll give a foul to everybody. Yeah, it's NBA. No, there's nothing like that in the NBA.
That might be a good idea. You know, it becomes this kind of special class of flagrant foul or whatever, mm-hmm. and yeah, now everybody on the floor has a foul. So, yeah, okay, you're going to send the NBA equivalent of a goon out there to foul a guy, but now everybody on the floor has one. So there you go. It's you know, five fouls for the price of one. That might put a stop to it. But you know what? I like that Adam Silver is, it appears that at least he's constantly just like, he's constantly reviewing his sport, over which he presides as commissioner. And he's open to making changes if he, mm-hmm. upon review is like, hey, this is a bad rule. And people are making this product bad by exploiting this rule, even though it is a rule and it's okay, but it's exploitative and bad. All right. Is that, we'll make it a shorty this week or this episode. How's that?
That's fine. Yeah. I think we got to wait on, we don't know what Johnny Manziel is going to do tomorrow. So we can't,
yeah,
you know.
We got to go to daily Johnny Manziel watch and we'll get it figured out. Apologies to the Voices of Wrestling faithful that, the main feed faithful that are seeing a lot of the KMP show. We're going to get that worked out. It's a fluid process.
Yes.
It's,
we're learning with you.
Yes. We're learning with you, although not as fast because we may have a disability of some kind. We're not sure. We're getting it checked out along with Johnny Manziel. Us and Johnny Manziel are going to the same doctor. Early word is we're all fucked up.
We're bad.
This show has been brought to you by Fathead. Buy one, get one free right now at Fathead. Plus, take an additional 15% off everything else by using our code BOGOFREE. Just go to voicesofwrestling.com/fathead. That's voicesofwrestling.com/fathead. Thank you guys for joining the KMP show, climbing the ranks. We are climbing the iTunes Sports
Podcast ranks. I see it every day. Every day.
That's good, man. New and noteworthy inside of three
episodes.
Coming
for you, Jonah Carey.
Yeah, bitch.
He'll probably beat us.
No,
I like Jonah Carey a lot.
No, Jonah Carey's at the top of new and noteworthy on all of iTunes.
Yeah,
iTunes podcast. Well, that's what happens when you get the Nerdist back in your shit. But we are coming after you, Mike Francesa. We're coming after you, Hulk Hogan. I'm coming for you. Word I can't say because
Thank
I'm.
You.
Yeah, I'm not. Oh, come on! You really think I was going to say it? Wow. All
right. Well, Booker T didn't think he was going to. You know, I don't know.
Yeah, well, I'm not roided out of my skull like Booker T was at the time.
I don't know that. So
I know I'm going to have to try to prove to you that I'm not roided out of my skull.
Pee anyway. In this cup. Pee in this cup, John. We're not together. So, and I don't have a test, and I don't really know how to test.
Oh,
it
God.
Anyway,
then why am I peeing into this cup? What are you doing? Yeah. Damn it.
Dear God.
All right. Well, be sure to subscribe to the KMP show on iTunes. Just go to iTunes and search KMP show. You can also go to KMPshow.com. Follow the show on Twitter. At KANDP show. That's KANDP show on Twitter. You can follow me at John's Voices and follow Rich and his wrestling musings at Voices of Wrestling it's at Voices Wrestling.
At Voices Wrestling, yeah.
At Voices Wrestling on Twitter. Yeah. I caught myself. I remembered.
You got it. You're good.
I remembered. KANDPshow.com, at Voices Wrestling, at John's Voices, KANDP show on Twitter. Thank you guys for joining. We will catch you next time. We are out. Bye.
Cool. Basically, fuck you.